coming up on New York Now. The state political conventions take center stage. The Democrats nominate Andrew Cuomo.
Republicans in this state put at the top of their ticket a Trump mini-mate.
And the GOP picks Mark Molinaro.
We live in a toxic environment. We too often find every way to dismiss those with whom we disagree and belittle those who don't share our opinion.
We have wall-to-wall coverage and analysis of the numerous storylines emerging from both political parties.
I have never covered a Russian or Cuban presidential election, but now I feel like I have.
New York Now is next, right here on PBS.
Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET. Additional funding provided by the Leo Cox Beach Philanthropic Foundation. Winner of a New York State Emmy for Best Political Program. This is New York Now.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to New York Now. I'm Matt Ryan.
And I'm Casey Seiler from the Times Union. After both major parties hold their state conventions, the top of the ticket is settled.
Our coverage starts with the Democrats on Long Island. Day one on Wednesday at Hofstra University, the party unanimously nominated controller Tom DiNapoli for a third full term. Arguably the most popular Democrat in New York, he was first appointed by the legislature in 2007 after Alan Hevesy resigned in disgrace.
I've teamed up with law enforcement to fight public corruption. Since 2011, these efforts have resulted in over $50 million in restitution of money ripped off from the public. Now, the controller may not be a cop, but if you steal from taxpayers, I will work to put you in jail.
Next up, the featured speaker of the day, former U.S. Senator and 2016 presidential runner-up Hillary Clinton, who officially endorsed Andrew Cuomo for governor.
Since Governor Cuomo took office, New York has passed marriage equality, implemented common sense gun safety laws, and adopted the strongest paid family leave policy anywhere in America. So our state is a shining example of the progress that's possible when we have tough, experienced, democratic leaders defending our values, standing up to the onslaught of attacks from this president and Republicans in Congress.
The governor surprised Clinton at the end with a bouquet of flowers. He received over 95% of the floor vote, with opponent Cynthia Nixon getting under 5%. He met briefly with reporters afterward.
I've been to a lot of conventions, but this was a really overwhelming show of support, frankly, more than I expected. So it's a great day all around.
Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, also facing an opponent on the left from Jumaane Williams, was renominated as well.
This room is filled with progressives. I am a progressive. And I defy anyone to look at my record of standing up for progressive values in the most Republican district in the state of New York. A lot of people wouldn't do that. And I suffer the consequence of losing an election because I would not turn my back on the people in my district.
The most interesting race heading into the convention was for Attorney General. After Eric Schneiderman's shocking fall from grace 2 weeks ago with allegations he physically abused multiple women. In the end, it wasn't that interesting after all. New York City public advocate Tish James received over 85% of the floor vote. Leisha Eve, a former aide to Hillary Clinton, garnered just under 10%. And 2014 gubernatorial candidate Zephyr Teachout finished at 5.5. Both hope to petition their way onto the ballot. James spoke to the crowd after the results were announced.
At a time when a loud and diverse chorus of women have said, "Me too," and "Time's up," the world has finally woken up to something that women have long known. At a time when American dreams are being squashed by an administration that does not realize that we are all one nation under God, indivisible, a nation of immigrants and hardworking families. At a time when Congress is actively tearing down consumer protections against Wall Street abuses, the Attorney General stands at the vanguard as a firewall of protection and not a wall of exclusion, because we are confronting nothing short of the biggest challenge to our democracy in the history of this country. And I am so proud to accept this designation for Attorney General and drive this vehicle for change.
On the Republican side, Mark Molinaro's nomination, really never in doubt since early April, became official. He was introduced by the last Republican to win statewide office, former Governor George Pataki.
I stand before you today grateful, humbled, especially humbled for the leap of faith that you're taking in me. And it is with that humility that I accept your nomination for governor of the great state of New York.
After retelling the story of his upbringing from humble beginnings in the Hudson Valley, he started making his case, describing what New York would look like under his leadership.
Albany will not be a cash cow for the rich and powerful any longer. We will not be an ATM for out-of-touch politicians anymore, and not for the big money donors, not for the politicians looking to dole out billions of dollars in political favors, not when I'm governor. The pay-for-play schemes, this New York fire sale ends, and it ends now.
He then seemingly took a jab at Andrew Cuomo by using a quote from his father, Mario.
He said to those looking to run for office, "Decide exactly what you want to achieve," he said some years ago. "Do you want to help people, or do you want to be powerful?" What Mario Cuomo was saying was that one should seek public office to do good, not feed one's ego or career needs. Bullies and megalomaniacs need not apply. Think about that for a moment.
Molinaro, who has been short on policy proposals so far in his campaign, teased the audience that they were coming.
The stakeholders in the Albany power and money game will spit out their coffee as we roll out our vision. They'll gnash their teeth and swear it can't be done. They'll start writing the TV ads. And yes, even the governor will start leveling the attacks. And I'll say this, watch me. Watch me and hold me to it.
On Thursday, the Cuomo campaign continued to bring out the big national names from the Democratic Party. DNC chair and Buffalo native Tom Perez endorsed the governor, as did longtime ally Joe Biden.
It's about time we pick our heads up. Remember who the hell we are as Americans. We can do anything. And it's time to get these guys out of our way. It's time to lead. And it's time to say, no more. We are moving on. We are changing the politics of this country. We are taking back control. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. Thank you. I mean it. It's ours. Take it back. Every time I'd walk out of my grandfather Ambrose Finnegan's house, he'd yell, "Joey, keep the faith." And my grandmother yelled, "No, Joey, spread it. Go spread the faith. Re-elect Andrew." Thank you.
When Cuomo finally took the stage, he explained his reasoning for bringing in some of the most famous members of his political party.
Why was Tom Perez here? Why was Hillary Clinton here? Why was Joe Biden here? Because this is New York, and this election is very, very important. And literally, the nation is going to look to us. We are about to embark on the most consequential campaign in our lifetime. We are at a political crossroads, and our decisions and actions are going to define the soul of this state and the soul of this nation. Our challenge is twofold. First, we must continue to move our state forward as the progressive capital of the United States of America, because that's what we are. And at the same time, we must overcome the current national extreme conservative movement that is threatening this nation.
Cuomo sharply criticized the right during the latter half of his speech, both in Washington and here in New York.
Today, the Albany Republicans all carry the Trump doctrine. They all drank the Trump, Ryan, McConnell Kool-Aid, and their radical assault is draconian and all-encompassing. Their vision, if you listen to them, is to take us back to their great old American days, their great old American days, when America was great. They think America was great when women were subordinate and when minorities were disenfranchised and when the big private market corporations ruled the land and when labor was voiceless. That's the America they want to take us back to. And we are not going back ever.
The governor never mentioned Mark Molinaro by name, but he did lump him in with the policies of the president, a politician the Dutchess County executive said he didn't vote for.
Republicans in this state put at the top of their ticket a Trump mini-me. He's anti-woman, anti-LGBTQ, anti-gun safety, anti-immigration, anti-education equity, and pro-Trump's New York tax increases. All he is a banner carrier for the extreme conservative movement. We're going to defeat their ideology in every electoral race all across this state. We're going to come together and work together like we never have before. More coordinated, more unified.
All right, and now with the Reporters Roundtable, happy to be joined by no doubt tired travelers, including Ken Lovett from the Daily News, Karen DeWitt of New York State Public Radio, and of course my partner, Matt Ryan. So let's start with the Democratic Convention. Just how choreographed was it?
Well, I have never covered a Russian or Cuban presidential election, but now I feel like I have. I mean, it was scripted. It was very well done. It was a great presentation. And if you're Governor Cuomo, it went off without a hitch, but mostly. But even right down to the opening prayers on each day of the convention, the ministers spoke more about Cuomo than they did about God. They talked about his policies on education. They talked about all different things.
Oh, my goodness.
It was barely a prayer.
Well, I covered the Republican convention, which was much more relax, but one of the observations I made was choosing Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden to speak. It seems like Cuomo has really decided that he's going to go with the more the old guard, traditional mainstream Democrats. He obviously has a problem with the left of his party. It seems like he's not even trying to reconcile with them at this point. He's written them off. He's going to go with the mainstream, hoping that's going to be enough votes in the Democratic primary against Cynthia Nixon. So that's what really struck me from seeing that is how much it was about these are our traditional values. You know, Hillary Clinton was saying, you don't think it's a bold idea to take care of people? Well, let me tell you, it's a bold idea. So I was really struck by that.
How can you be against me when I've got Hillary Clinton on my side? I got Joe Biden, and the special guest on Thursday was DNC chair Tom Perez, who ruffled some feathers apparently when he went out and he endorsed Andrew Cuomo, which didn't please the progressives too much. But yeah, he had an all-star cast to support him.
And there really was two themes of the convention. And one, which was, look at his progressive record. Every speaker from Christine Quinn, the former city council speaker, to Tom Perez, to Joe Biden, you know, Hillary Clinton, you know, talked about the increase in minimum wage and family paid leave and gun, you know, the SAFE Act, gun control law. So they all were pushing up and touting his progressive bona fides. And then the other one was, but the message was, you've got to be progressive and accomplish things. Tom Perez used a term I hadn't heard before, but it was he said that Cuomo and Hochul are charter members of the accomplishment wing of the party, or the accomplishment wing of the party. The other message was, we're going to resist and fight back against Donald Trump. And that was both for New York and also if he still has any 2020 aspirations. There was a lot of talk about that, especially in the governor's speech.
Wasn't it interesting, Ken, and you saw some of the surrogates on Twitter. Cuomo, as we said in the headlines, got over 95% of the floor vote, as he was expected to do. But his surrogates were hammering that point. A couple of them mocked Cynthia Nixon for only getting 5%, the tweet. 5%.
Yeah, from Rich as a party, the governor's spokesman,
from a party that the governor controls.
Wholeheartedly.
But that speech, it was a lot about Washington. And I didn't hear a lot about New York other than past accomplishments. and what he would do in a third term. It was like, I guess you assume because he did all these things in the first two terms and he's going to fight against Washington, you want him. But I didn't hear any like specific program for New York.
He threw a couple. He talked about expanding on the SAFE Act, you know, raising the age of to purchase a gun from 18 to 21, which was interesting because he kind of dismissed that idea a couple of months ago in March when he said that that would have only stopped at least 13% of the mass shootings nationally. But now he's pushing that. He's pushing a few other gun control measures. He also talked, although he didn't give any specifics, he talked about his $100 billion building program, and he says he wants to do another $150 billion in the next term.
Well, I mean, I guess it's hard when you're an incumbent, you've been there two terms, but I don't feel like he laid out, like, well, what would the third term be? What can we expect?
Which is what people said in 1990 about his mm-hmm. father, Mario Cuomo, when he went for a third term as well. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with another chance? Cynthia Nixon, did she perform better than the numbers in the delegate count suggested, or was the convention basically kind of a nullity for her?
It was a nullity for her. I honestly thought she was going to get between 8 and 10% of the vote, even with Cuomo controlling it. I thought she underperformed in that regard. She did reach out to delegates. She held a conference call. She sent letters. Even the head of the Progressive Caucus of the party voted for Cuomo. I thought a lot more progressives would have gone for her, but she came and she spoke and she got attention and then she left and no one will remember it in a few days, right. and the campaign moves on.
And a few people who did say Nixon were immediately booed, but you know, she would say that this is not a true representation of the Democrats out there. This is a room that's controlled by Andrew Cuomo. So this doesn't really reflect.
Cuomo was asked about that, though. I said, you know, what about, you know, Nixon's argument that the progressives are going to be coming out in more numbers come the primary? He goes, who do you think's in there?
Right.
Some of the most progressive Democrats in the state.
They aren't conservatives.
Well, you know, it reminded me of Cuomo himself in 2002 when he was the outsider in the Democratic primary against Carl McCall. He was kind of running around New York City having alternative events, trying to take the media away from the mainstream event.
He would not go and get his butt kicked.
That's right.
Well, you're right.
She did.
He stayed several blocks away and had alternative events.
So she cannot use the argument it was rigged because you went and you tried for it.
Yeah. So believe it or not, there are others who are going to be running in November well. And some of those were, of course, the Democratic convention, including Andrea Stewart Cousins, who appeared on stage. And among many other things she did, she endorsed Jeff Klein, the former leader of the former IDC, for re-election.
Well, she endorsed him not at the convention, but for election today, on Friday as we speak. But she talked about unity, and she endorsed Cuomo for the first time for re-election, and she talked about moving together as a unified party and getting more than 32, more than a functioning majority, because right now they have 32 Democrats, which is enough for a majority. But thanks to Simcha Felder, a Brooklyn senator who's a Democrat who caucuses with the Republicans still control the chamber, which led to a resolution by the Democrats, non-binding, but it passed that they voted to kick Simcha Felder or recommend that Felder be kicked out of the Democratic Party for basically treason to the party.
Turning at last to the GOP convention, Karen,
it did happen.
You
I was
there.
I witnessed it.
Mark Molinaro, in his speech, really kind of put Cuomo on blast in terms of engendering a culture of corruption within the executive
chamber.
That's
a big issue that they have because Cuomo's former closest aide, Joe Prococo, got convicted on bribery charges, and there's a number of trials coming up. I thought Molinaro gave a very good speech. He has a compelling life story. He grew up on food stamps. He was the boy wonder mayor of his hometown of Tivoli at 19. He's Dutchess County executive. He's kind of compassionate conservative. I guess that's not new. George W. Bush was that, but he says he believes in the social safety net, but he also wants to cut taxes. And he's distanced himself from Donald Trump. He didn't vote for him. It was interesting at this convention, you heard almost no mention of Donald Trump. Once in a while, a speaker would mention him and people would kind of half-heartedly cheer. But Trump was not the center of this, and Molinaro was trying to distance himself, which, you know, has its downside and its upside because there are core Republican Trump supporters that he's going to need for votes, but he doesn't want to alienate a lot of Democrats, independents, who hate Trump.
But isn't it interesting? We saw one of the last clips we saw of Molinaro in headlines is that Cuomo was comparing him to Trump, called him a mini-me,
Trump mini-me.
Trump mini-me.
Yeah.
which we've talked to him a number of times. That's certainly not the case.
No, but it's, you know, Cuomo wants to define him as that because right. That's an easy way to define him. And Molinaro is unknown, doesn't have a lot of money, so it's easy to define him as somebody allied with Trump. I mean,
and he's symbolically, Molinaro was introduced at the convention by former Governor George Pataki.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Pataki is the last Republican to win statewide back in 2002. But also, the symbolism is Pataki was a nobody who beat Mario Cuomo.
From the Hudson Valley.
And I think, you know, the message was not so subtly that, yeah, people don't know Mark Molinaro right now, but they're going to be voting. If they're going to vote for him, a lot of those votes are going to be against Andrew Cuomo, mm-hmm. the way a lot of the votes for Pataki were against
ABC.
But it's Cuomo. Not exactly comparable because not in yet. Those days you had United States Senator Al D'Amato. You had Bill Powers, who was the very competent and powerful chairman of the Republican Party, and they really worked. Pataki didn't do it alone. Right. I mean, he did a lot of campaigning, but he had a structure behind him. And one thing that struck me at this Republican Party is they just don't seem to have much of a structure anymore. They had trouble filling the seats. It was only about 2/3 full, and it wasn't a very big ballroom that they used.
It was a bad look on social media, as we were talking beforehand.
This,
Molinaro didn't have a teleprompter, so he's reading a 30-minute speech going up and down. Not a great look. And the Facebook Live they had, like the camera was in the
back. It was a static shot, and it really looked like a half.
And Josh Robin of New York One on Twitter did a pan, and like Karen was saying, there was hardly anyone there as their attorney general nominee was speaking. It was a bad,
my
bad
column, look. My colleague, Glenn Blaine, was there, mm-hmm. and he wrote on the first day, you know, how delegates who bothered to show up voted for Molinaro. So, because, you know, he said half the room was empty.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, he was laughing because all those empty chairs were gone.
Yes.
So they were trying to
they
make
like
it look fuller.
Smaller. But Thursday morning, they weren't even sure they had a quorum at one point. They had to keep going through and taking roll call and figuring out if they had enough people to even vote
And who are these candidates? We haven't talked about them.
Let's turn our attention to them. Keith Wofford is the AG candidate, and Jonathan Trickler is the candidate for controller.
Jonathan Trickler was a Democrat until
a couple of days ago.
Trouble finding a controller candidate. Keith Wofford, a New York City lawyer who grew up in Buffalo. He made a big deal of his Buffalo roots, and his father worked for the Chevy plant. His mother, you know, taught him about the value of education. And he, you know, wanted to get rid of waste and government and once again going after Cuomo's corruption and problems with that. But you know, it's hard because nobody has really heard of them. And, you know, even though Eric Schneiderman just, you know, completely flamed out 2 weeks ago, they still had trouble getting a big name or at least a somewhat well-known candidate for attorney general.
And they have no primaries, though, on the Republican
side.
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying the Democrats, obviously Cuomo and Cynthia Nixon. Tish James, the city public advocate who won big, I think she got 85% of the delegate vote. She's going to be running for AG, but so is Lucia Eve, a former Cuomo and Hillary Clinton aide,
mm-hmm.
and so is Zephyr Teachout, the Fordham University law school professor who ran for governor in Congress.
But
and so
three of those four African American, which is, you know, mm-hmm. remarkable in mm-hmm. and of itself.
Yeah, and then, you know, the only one on the ticket who won't have a primary is DiNapoli.
But at least primaries give you a little bit of attention and free media, which the Republicans are going to need right now because they don't seem to have any money.
Ken, were you surprised that that Tish James got 85%? That was kind of the biggest storyline going in, but she cruised and she got a lot of vocal support there, more than anybody else.
No,
I thought.
The Tish James was Cuomo's candidate, and as mm-hmm. we said, it was Cuomo's convention.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't surprised. I was surprised Lucia Eve got. I know she got a lot of support from Western New York, where she hailed from. She's mm-hmm. from Harlem now, but I was surprised she got 9.5%, which is probably of all the quote unquote insurgent candidates, she got the most. Teachout got 5%.
Yep.
I think Tish James is going to help Cuomo a lot because mm-hmm. that's something new to get an African-American woman as attorney general if they win, and that's going to help energize his campaign
and
a bit.
Cynthia Nixon's been trying to break into the African-American community, his strong point, and if he's running around with her, you know.
And Tish James gave a very compelling speech.
Very quickly, we should also mention that Barbara Underwood was, in fact, chosen as attorney general. She'll fill out mm-hmm. Eric Schneiderman's term, the first woman to take that role in New York State history.
And she is not seeking re-election. She has said.
Yeah, I think Assembly Democrats didn't really have a choice because any of the main political contenders didn't want to be appointed by the legislature and look like
some
kind
deal.
Of backroom deal or inside job. So they had to go to her. And it seems like a good choice. Nobody has a bad thing to say about her. She seems very competent and, you know, some continuity.
Right. All right. Well, hang tight. Time now for this week's New York Now poll question. Which political race are you most interested in right now? Take a look at our choices online by heading to nynow.org. There you can find all of our past programs and links to follow us on social media, including Twitter, where our handle is @nynow_PBS. You'll find a link to my paper's Capital Confidential blog as well, also found at timesunion.com. All right. Our thanks to Karen DeWitt of New York State Public Radio, Ken Lovett of The Daily News, and, of course, my partner Matt Ryan here at New York Now. We leave you today with more video from the Democratic State Convention at Hofstra University. I'm Casey Seiler from the Times Union. Thanks for watching, and we hope to see you again next week.